My behaviour and communications on this podcast are not an accurate reflection of how I interact in my other businesses. Basically, I don't ever swear at children. If this podcast causes you distress of any kind, either by what I say or who I am, then do yourself a favour and go away. Welcome to the People Building Podcast, and today you are joining me in the basement of the office. I don't think I've filmed down here yet, so this is, which is why if you're just podcasting, as in iTunes, etc., the audio might sound a bit weird, because I'm in the basement. But it's not the basement as we knew it. The basement as we knew it was
a cold and dark and fearful place.
But now it's bright and lovely and like amazing. You can't see it all, you can just see this, obviously. But we've got 6 recliner chairs in here for when we are training and when we are using it as a cinema, watching films, which happens sometimes as well. And everything is superheroes themed. We've got Captain America's shield impaled into the wall over there. We've got superheroes clock. We've got like a ton of framed Marvels pictures over here. There are superhero themed bits and pieces littered all over this basement. Anyway, I'm just quite excited by my basement. I'm enjoying the fact that I get to share it with you today. Here's what we're talking about in our podcast for today. We are talking about fear of the fear. This is not even fear of something specific. It's fear about becoming fearful about something specific. Does that make sense to you? So it's something I've come up against a lot in my one-to-one coaching practice, is when people think that they maybe have a fear of something, like I am fearful of going to the dentist. Actually, they're not fearful of going to the dentist anymore. They're now fearful of getting the feeling of fear about going to the dentist. So it's fear of the fear. Or I am fearful about getting onto an aeroplane. But it's not fearful about the aeroplane anymore, it's fearful about the feeling of the fear that they would get if they were to go onto an aeroplane. So it's fear of the fear. Are you with me? I know this sounds quite complicated, but it's like an additional level of fear on top of the original fear. The original fear was of the thing, but now they're not fearful of the thing anymore, they're fearful of the feeling of the fear. Sometimes that feeling of being fearful of fear is bigger than the original fear itself, and that's a little bit crazy. You know, it's one thing to have a fear, but then to be fearful of that feeling is taking it to a whole new level. And what that does is, if we said that this kind of, like, I don't know, 3-centimeter circle here was the original issue, and then we go, but now we're also fearful of the feeling of being fearful of that thing, it makes it significantly larger, like triple the size easily. So what we need to do is we need to get some perspective back so that we can actually tackle what was the original issue, knowing that that has gone, there isn't any risk of any fear emerging anyway, and then we can all move on with our lives and live happily ever after. So here's the question: how do we begin to overcome the fear of the fear? Well, the first thing is you need to set up some kind of internal communication, because very often the fearful thing isn't really based on what's going on in the outside world. Like, it's not coming from there. That's just the trigger, you know, that's just the thing that sort of activates the system. The issue is what's going on in the system. So we need to look inwardly and not outwardly. Often we find that people try to control the external circumstances in order to manage their fear, i.e. not going to the dentist, not getting on an aeroplane. Those are ways of controlling the outside world. Now, that might feel good because of the sense of control that it creates, but it's also not realistic for that kind of control to last. Anything where you are controlling outside of yourself is going to give you a temporary feeling of comfort. It's a temporary feeling of comfort because whilst you feel like you're in control, guess what?
You're not.
Not really. Actually, you are just kind of playing with luck, because outside circumstances can change at any given moment. And if you don't have control over those in the first place anyway, you will then be at the mercy of them. What we do have control over is what goes on in here. So that's why we're going to be working on the internal system instead of the external circumstances. So the communication that needs to happen here is typically going to be an inside job. You are going to be communicating to yourself inside your own head. Now, some people have ways of doing that that are very positive, and they can have a good internal dialogue. And some people, not so much. Some people's internal dialogue is super negative, or they're particularly good at beating themselves up and being quite mean to themselves. It's important that you do not do that. It's important that you have a better strategy. So remember, there are two ways in which your mind works. Sometimes we refer to these as two parts of your brain. Your conscious mind, which is there to give out directions and have some internal jibber jabber, and your unconscious mind, which is responsible for maintaining all of the systems that relate to your body, like blinking, breathing, sleeping, but also maintaining all of your sort of habits and behaviors and automatic reactions. You can change things like habits and automatic reactions, like fear, by having good communication with your unconscious mind. The way in which you're going to strike up that communication is via your conscious mind, which is there to give out the instructions. So your conscious mind is like the captain of the ship. It's there to bark out the directions and orders, and then it's the job of the unconscious, which is like the ship itself and all of the crew, to follow through on those directions. Now, if the captain is giving out really shoddy directions, maybe they're not clear and specific enough. Maybe they talk more about what the captain wants to avoid rather than what the captain wants to achieve, then the crew and the ship are going to get confused, or at worst, you may end up with mutiny on the ship where they choose not to follow the directions whatsoever. So we've got to have these two in rapport with each other. They've got to have a good communication between the two of them. So that comes from you having good internal self-talk, giving out clear directions, being somewhat sympathetic and understanding about how the crew might be feeling or how battered the ship is, and by your captain being very certain, coming from a place of certainty in the directions that you give. If you have something that you are fearful of doing, something that you are fearful of approaching, something that just brings about the fear of the fear in you, then it's down to the captain to say the right things in the right way so that the crew, your unconscious mind, can follow through on those directions without any confusion whatsoever. It's important that your captain of the ship has got a little bit of swagger and a bit of ego about him or her. Think like Jack Sparrow in Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, that's how the captain of my ship is, but less drunk. Think about the captain as being the way that you would want the captain of your ship to be. They need to have like good personality about them so that the crew will be inspired by it. Like, you kind of need to create that within yourself. Your captain needs to be someone who is a bit of a champion, who says, I believe in you guys, you can do this, you can master this challenge. And not the kind of captain who says, we've been beaten by it before, we will be beaten again. The other important thing, as well as coming from that place of certainty, is that you see yourself as being physically greater than the problem. Now, when I say physically greater than the problem, here's what I mean by this. Very often when someone has a fear, they will use words like, it's overwhelming, like the fear is huge, it's all encompassing. So they are giving clues in that moment about size or capacity. And very often, if they could draw it, like if they could do a little matchstick man to represent them, and then a monster that they drew to represent the fear would be far bigger than the matchstick man that represents them. The truth is, it's not like that. Like, fear is just a concept. It's just a thing that exists in your head. At the very least, you should be shrinking it and seeing it small and for what it really is. But at best, you should be seeing yourself as bigger and empowered and greater than that. Now, whether that means that you start to change your posture so that you walk a bit taller with your head held up and your shoulders back, or that you feel a certain feeling in your solar plexus area that kind of exudes power and greatness from you, or that you have an aura bubble which surrounds you and is huge and it just has to be bigger than the fear. Like, you have to conceptually see yourself as being greater than it in order to shrink it and overcome it. It's all about putting it back into its perspective. It's about kind of putting it back in its box. I'm not going to tell you that the fear isn't there or that the fear doesn't feel real to you, because for you, it quite possibly does. But if we can put it into perspective, it becomes something much more manageable. The other important thing to do is to remember times in the past when you have overcome fears. Now, sometimes when I say that to people and they feel like they've got like this mountain to climb, they've got like this big old challenge that they need to overcome, they feel like they've never done anything like that before, like this is their biggest challenge, this is their life's work. But the truth is, you've had that feeling before, a lot. Sometimes we forget that once upon a time, we were tiny little beings who didn't have the vocabulary, didn't have the knowledge, the understanding, the concepts that you have now. You are cleverer now than you've ever been at any point in time in your past, because you've got more life experience now than you ever had back then. But once upon a time, when you were about 14 months old, you decided that it was time to brave the stairs and you couldn't even walk yet. And you wobbled there at the top of the very first step, and you looked down whilst no one was watching you, and you thought, yeah, I'm going to do stairs today. I'm going down those stairs. And you might have chosen that you were going to go down on your bottom, or that you were going to twist around and slide down on your tummy. But you did some crazy shit like that when you were a toddler. You weren't even toddling. You're still a baby. You did something mental like that. In that moment, there would have been some fear attached to doing that. But you were that committed to getting to the bottom of the stairs, but you did it anyway. Now, don't tell me that you cannot be braver than a baby. I think you can do this. You can be braver than your baby self that you once were, who got up after falling down multiple times and still learnt to walk anyway, who stammered over particular words like hospital, which repeatedly came out as hostable, no matter how many times you practiced it, who couldn't, for the life of them, put a number 5 around the right way and frequently got it muzzled up with the letter S. You did all of those things, and in spite of your fears and anxieties about it, you kept going and you nailed it. And back then, at that moment in time, it felt like the biggest thing in the world. If you could nail those things then, you can nail these things now. But somewhere along the lines, as we grow into adulthood, we stop believing in Santa, we stop believing in the tooth fairy, we stop believing in ourselves, and that's the saddest bit. I want you to give yourself permission, that captain of the ship, give that captain permission to tell the crew, to tell the ship, I can do this, I will do this, it might not be easy, but I will do it anyway, and the more I do it, the easier it will become, and very soon I will be so much bigger than it. It's not that that fear doesn't exist anymore, it's just that it doesn't exist for me. It doesn't exist in my consciousness because I choose not to think about it anymore, and I choose not to think about it in the same way. That's what shrinks it and makes the bubble pop and disappear. So, that is your challenge between now and when I speak to you next month. But for now, thank you so much for watching and listening to the People Building Podcast. If you are not already subscribed, then on iTunes, go ahead and click the red subscribe button and ding the little bell beside it so that you get notified the next time I upload a video. For those of you who are listening on a podcasting platform such as iTunes, then make sure you go ahead and subscribe to the podcast so that it will download into your feed the next month I speak to you. But for now, thank you so much for watching. It was lovely to speak to you. Have a great month. Bye, everyone. Hey, people. Welcome to the People Building Podcast. And today, ha-da-ba-da-ba-ba. Oh, I need to go again. I was doing so well. So well. So the question is, how do we do that? How do we begin to overcome fear of the fear so that we can move on with our lives?